Father, we are thankful for this day, for this time you've given us to come together for this worship service. May thy blessing, Father, be upon all who are here to bless each person, Father, in a special way. We pray, Father, for all of our sick. We ask a special prayer for our brother Bud Boatwright this morning. We pray, Father, that you will give him the strength and then comfort him, Father, as he endures these treatments. Be with all of us, Father, as we continue to do your will. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
First song will be number 519. 519. When sorrows like billows flow over my soul, and my heart is filled with despair, till again that old story of a city so fair, where peace like a river rolls on. Where peace like a river flows over my soul. When troubles and sorrow from life all have flown, I'll drink at that fountain that flows deep and wide. Peace like a river, peace flows over my soul. If I walk in the sunshine, my quiet waters still, or I walk through the valley so dim, there's a river still flowing, it flows deep and wide, from the mountain on Calvary Hill. Where peace like a river flows over my soul. When troubles and sorrows from life all have flown, I'll drink at that fountain that flows deep and wide. Where peace like a river, peace flows over my soul. Where peace like a river flows over my soul, where troubles and fears all have flown, and I drink of the fountain that flows deep and wide, then peace like a river flows on. Where peace like a river flows over my soul. When troubles and sorrows from life all have flown, I'll drink at that fountain that flows deep and wide. Where peace like a river, peace flows over my soul.
For opening credits, one page over to 521.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despair cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love. my heart, Him I give, ever to Him I'll cling. In His presence live, ever His praises sing. Love so high and so true, merits my soul's best song. Faithful, loving service to Him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger look upon Jesus completely saved. He will lift you by His love out of the angry wave. He's the master of the sea, billows His will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Well, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father. We're so thankful this morning, Lord, that you've blessed each and every one of us, Father, with the health and strength, the wherewithal, Father, to rise up out of our beds on the first day of the week, Father, and to come together, Lord, assemble, and to be able to worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Father. Our Lord, we pray that indeed all of our acts of worship unto Thee this morning, Father, would be conducted decent and in order, and would be most pleasing and acceptable unto Thee. Our Father, we're so thankful for our congregation here, Father, for the body of Christ here at Cross Street, Lord. We pray that you continue to bless each and every one of us, Father. Bless our elders, our deacon, our teacher, preacher, Father, all of our teachers, Father, and bless all those that help to perform the work of the church here, Father, even if they may not have a formal title, Father. For we know that it takes all members of the body to have one fully functioning unit, Lord. Our Father, at this time, Lord, we're also mindful of all those who are sick, Lord. We're all ailed from time to time, Father, whether that be physically, mentally, maybe emotionally, but especially spiritually, Father. But we pray, Father, for those at this time that were mentioned as being sick, that you'd wrap your arms around them, Father, that you'd bless them, bless those that render care unto them, Father, and that if it would be your will, you might grant unto them the things that they need to be restored to their normal health and strength, Father. Our Lord, we're also thankful for all the many, many blessings of life that you've given each and every one of us, Father. They're really too numerous to even count, Father, but we know that all things flow from Thee, Father, and we pray that we'd remember that as we go about our lives, Lord. And Father, we're most thankful of all, Lord, for Your grace and love, Father, the grace and love that sent your Son down upon this earth, Father, to become that perfect Lamb of God, live the perfect life that He did, to set the example that He did, the teachings that He did, Father, the miracles that He performed, and ultimately His willingness to go to the cross, become that sacrifice for us, Father, the shedding of whose blood is what cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Lord. And we pray, Father, that as we go about our lives, that we'd remember Christ Jesus, Father, and remember what He did for us, and that the things that we do in our lives, Father, might be a reflection of our thankfulness for Christ, Lord. Father, as we continue in our worship this morning, Father, we pray that You bless our brother Norman with a good remembrance of the things that he's prepared to preach this morning, Father, that we might open our hearts, Father, that we might let His Word strengthen us, encourage us, prick our hearts, Father. And ultimately, we apply into our lives, Father, and try to be better, stronger, and more faithful Christians from them, Father. And Lord, as we continue on this morning again, Father, we just ask that You continue to wrap Your arms around each and every one of us, Father, that You might continue to guide us, to lead us, and bless us, Father, and that You might forgive us of those sins and shortcomings that we're all guilty of from time to time, Father. You might bless us with the courage to turn away from those things, to repent of them, Father. That ultimately we won't let those things deter our home with You one day, Lord. And Father, as we continue this morning again, we just pray that everything that would be said, be sung, Father, be well-pleasing unto Thee, Lord. And we ask these and all things, Father, in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before partaking of the communion service, let's sing number 533. 533.
Nearer still, nearer, close to Thy heart, draw me, my Savior, so precious Thou art. Hold me, oh, hold me, close to Thy breast. All of this. pleasures of any Christ, if he but Jesus, my Lord, crucified. If me but Jesus, my Lord, crucified. Nearer, still nearer, while I shall last, till safe in glory my anchor is cast. Through endless ages, ever to be, nearer my Savior, still nearer to thee. Nearer, my Savior, still nearer to thee.
In 1 Corinthians 11, verses 20 through 22, it reads that we are not here to eat the Lord's Supper. In other words, we do not partake of it like this is any common meal. When Apostle Paul was speaking to the people at the Church of Corinth, and when they had these common meals, he noticed that some people would eat and drink excessively, while others would go hungry. And he made an emphasis that the Lord's Supper is the opposite of that. Now, this is a supper, a spiritual feast. And the emphasis is on having the opportunity to come together in fellowship, to come together with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and to be able to share and to reflect on the exact same thing. And that was how our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave his life for our salvation. So that's what we have to keep in mind, that you do not partake of the Lord's Supper the same way we do a common meal that we do at home. It's very important. It's something that we don't take lightly. And we have to make sure that our hearts and our minds are in the right place as we prepare to partake of this Lord's Supper. We have before us the two emblems. We have the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come together, on this first day of the week, Heavenly Father, to come together and to gather around the Lord's table, Heavenly Father, to be able to fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, Heavenly Father, to all be able to clear our minds, Heavenly Father, to reflect back on that day on the cross, on that day of when thy Son gave his life. And we know, Heavenly Father, that he was without sin. We knew that he had the power, Heavenly Father, to save himself, but he so loved this world that he was willing to give his life so that we may have salvation. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that as we prepare to take up this bread to represent his body, that we'll do so in a manner that it be pleasing in thy sight, and that will honor and glorify thy name. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us not give thanks to the cup.
Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow this morning, Father, first and foremost, thanking you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for remission of sins. Father, if we take of this cup, which represents his shed blood on that cross, we ask, Father, that we do so that it is in a way that is respectful and pleasing unto thee. We ask that we do this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during the partaking of the Lord's Supper, you raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service. And just as with the Lord's Supper, when we give, the emphasis is always on the manner in which we give. It's not just about physically putting money into the collection trays, but it's to make sure that our hearts and our minds are in the right place when we give back, you know, to not do it with any type of hesitation, for you know, this is a joyous occasion to be able to give back to our Lord and Savior. So at this time, let us give thanks for the opportunity to give. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we so thankful, Heavenly Father, for all thy blessings, Heavenly Father, for all the beauty that you have given this world that we get to witness each and every day, Heavenly Father, for being by our sides, Heavenly Father, through the worst and through the best of times, Heavenly Father, to continue to shower us with all thy blessings, Heavenly Father, to give us our health, give us the will, give us all of our abilities, Heavenly Father, to go out into this world, Heavenly Father, to be able to work, to be able to provide for those that we love, Heavenly Father. And we're just so thankful, Heavenly Father. We're so happy for this opportunity to be able to give back, Heavenly Father, to show our appreciation for all thy blessings, Heavenly Father, to be able to give back so that we can continue to grow this congregation, that we can continue to spread thy good word, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that as we prepare to give back, that we'll do so in a manner that will be according to thy will. For this we ask for in thy Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Song of Invocation will be number 528. I asked for the moment if he had a request, went through the index a little bit, he got it on 749, so it's kind of with his lesson. 749. Let's do the first, second, fourth, and fifth. Onward, Christian soldier, marching back to war. Cross of Jesus, going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner soar. Onward, Christian soldiers. Marching next to war, with a cross of Jesus, going on before. At the sign of triumph, Satan's host are fleeing. On a Christian soldier, on to victory.
Lessons, Galatians 3, chapters 1 and 2. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting all the way at the right hand of God. Set in your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Now we hear from Brother Skippy, and hopefully we will take some really good stuff away.
Good morning. Once again, God has truly been good to us. He has blessed us to be able to once again assemble ourselves together on this morning. We pray that we come with no other purpose than to worship God in spirit and in truth. It's just good to see each and every one of you here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we do count you as our honored guest. We're just glad that you came to be a part of the service on this morning, and those who have tuned in on our conference call as well. On behalf of me and my wife, words cannot express the love, the prayers, the encouragement, the support, the act of kindness, the relationships that we have developed. We will ever be grateful. We will ever be thankful to this congregation. We truly love this congregation, and we'll be praying for this congregation as you pray for us. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, God, we again thank you for this day, and Lord, for your blessings and this opportunity that you've given us to assemble ourselves together this morning. Lord, we ask you to just continue to be with this congregation, be with the leaders of this congregation, Lord, that they continue to go onward, continue to reach upward, inward, and outward for you. And Lord, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situations, Lord, conclude on this message, everything we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary correction before it's too late. Guide me in your word the things that I say. Lord, you God, the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man's responsibility is threefold. It can be boiled down to three fine points. Number one, man's has an upward responsibility, which consists of living a life to the glory of God. Man has an inward responsibility, which consists of his growth in godliness. But then man has an outward responsibility, which consists of ministering to others. And when these three factors align in the life of an individual, then it can be rightly said that he will be living a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And I pray that this congregation continue to reach upward, continue to reach inward, and continue to reach outward. Well, what do I mean when I say reaching upward? Reaching upward has to do with being connected to God and staying connected with God. Our mission is to foster our relationship with God, is to grow in our faith. Because you will not be effective in reaching inward or reaching outward if you do not remain connected upward to God. So you need to remain upward with God. Our entire spiritual life includes our salvation, our transformation, our mission is dependent on our relationship with God. And so we should always look spiritually upward. Because until we see God for who he is, we will never see ourselves for who we are. And so we need to be looking upward. And so as we look at each of these directions this morning, I'm going to connect them with some verse in the book of Colossians. So let's look at the first one when I talk about upward. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2, and beginning there with verse number 6 and verse 7, he says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now, did you notice the important aspect of staying connected to God in these verses? After receiving Christ in the conversion process, that's baptism, then you gotta walk in Christ. Walking in Christ includes being rooted and built up in him, being established in the faith. And all of this leads to an outpouring of thanksgiving. Our reaching upward toward God is an ongoing walking with Christ, being rooted in him, being grounded in Christ, staying connected to God. And if you don't stay connected to God, I'm here to tell you, you will not produce a spiritual life and fruit. You've got to stay connected to God, because apart from being connected to Jesus, we can do nothing. That's what John chapter 15 and verse 1 through 5 talks about. And so you need to stay connected to God. You need to abide in Jesus. You need to dwell in Jesus. You need to remain in Jesus. You need to stay connected to Jesus. Always, church, be reaching upward. And so this is accomplished by keeping God's word in your hearts, by obeying God's command. And when you abide in Christ, when you remain in his love, when you produce fruit, and joy is made complete in Christ. So how can we daily walk in Christ? How can you daily abide in Christ? How can you daily remain in him? Nothing can replace the spiritual discipline or practices of a Christian daily and weekly life. What do you mean? This includes Bible reading. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Bible. Continue to study your Bible. Continue to pray. Continue to worship God. And continue to keep involved in the service of the Lord. That's how you're staying connected to God. And these things keep us reaching upward. It keeps us connected to Christ, who is the true vine. So I want to encourage you, and not only you, I want to encourage all the children and the teenagers here to start these practices at a very young age. Start reading your Bible. Start studying. Start worshiping. Start serving. Young people, you will never regret starting early to walk with God. Because the earlier you start walking with God, then the easier it will be to continue to walk with God throughout your whole life. So I encourage you, you continue to reach upward. Secondly, reach inward. Individually, each of us have to put our faith in Jesus Christ. Not in man, not in the preacher, not in the elders, not in the member, but you got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You got to depend upon the salvation that Christ offers. Walk faithfully in Jesus Christ. Because the mission is to foster relationships not only with God, but foster relationships in the church. See, when we become a Christian, God makes us a member of his family, which is the body of Christ, which is the church. And so the church is the family of God. There is God the Father, Jesus our brother, the Holy Spirit our comforter and counselor, and all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a family. God's family is an awesome family. And so the church and God's family, it isn't an organization, but it's a living organism. And you need to understand, church, that the church isn't a place where we go, but it's a family, a team that we are a member of. You are a member of a great family, and that's the family of God. We are saved as individuals, but you flourish and grow as a community. And so I'm here to tell you that you need a church family. You need a church family to help you center your life around God through worship. You need a church family to help you connect with other believers through fellowship. You need a church family to help you cultivate spiritual maturity through discipleship. You need a church family to prepare you to contribute something back through ministry. You need a church family to help you communicate God's love through evangelism. You need a church family, and guess what? You have a church family right here in Ypsilanti. This is the church family. You stay together. You work together. So what does the scripture have to say about the importance of reaching inward? Let's look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Let's begin with verse number 12. In verse 12 of Colossians chapter 3, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so what we see in these verses, we see a lot of one another commands. Bearing with one another, forgiving one another, loving one another, compassion, kindness, humility, and patience. And when we are effectively loving each other in the church, truly being a family of God and the body of Christ, let me tell you, the world will take notice. This community will take notice. This city will take notice. But on the other hand, how unappealing it is when the world looks at the church. They see division. They see strife. They see sowing discord. They see hatred. They see racism in the church. I got news for you. They're going to take notice of that as well. And so we have to understand that how appealing it is when the world, they look at the church, they see a real loving and accepting and forgiving and serving congregation. This is the congregation that this needs to be. When the world, when visitors come in, they see a real loving. They see accepting, forgiving, and a serving congregation. And that makes them want to be a part of this congregation. And so while we continue to reach upward toward God, stay connected with Him, we must be actively reaching inward. Staying connected with the family of God. And to do our part to make the church strong and healthy. And I think that it goes without saying that it's hard to be connected with God's family if we're rarely in God's family. You got to stay connected to the family of God. Gather with the church when the church gathers. That's a must. On Sundays and Wednesdays, gathering each week are like a family meal. It's like family reunion. It's way beyond just being present. God's plan for the well-being of the church is the faithful employment of our individual gifts for the good of the body. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when he discusses the different gifts we have and the different roles that we might play in the body for the health and the well-being of the body. I want to tell you, every part of the body is needed for the body to be whole and healthy. That includes our oldest members of the congregation. That includes the youngest members of the congregation. That includes whether the most gifted members and the least gifted members. All have a part in the body of Christ. So I want to encourage this congregation, continue to be reaching inward. Be present, be attentive to each other. Establish relationships. Get the help you need and offer the help that others need. Find ways to use your gifts. Use your talents to be a blessing to this congregation. And then the point is, our inner connectedness to Christ shouldn't stay inward, but church, it needs to flow outward. And that's the final point, is that while you maintain an upward reach, while you maintain an inward reach, it is God's will that you reach outward. Because the mission is to serve. It's to bless others outside the church of Christ. You see, how sad and how selfish would it be to keep the joy of a relationship with God and a relationship with God's family just to yourselves?
How sad, how selfish would it be to view the church as some exclusive club that exists only to meet our needs. You need to be reaching outward. Why are you reaching upward and reaching inward? Let's look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. He says, in Colossians 4 and verse 2, continue in prayer. And watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God will open unto us a door of utterance. To speak the mystery of Christ, from which I am also in bonds. In verse number 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Redeeming the time, let your speech always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And so this is the outward reach. See, reaching outward begins with prayer. Praying for opportunities to share the good news and praying for the ability to make the good news clear to somebody. Reaching outward continues with being wise in the way we act toward unbelievers and to make the most of every opportunity. See, the Christian life isn't only lived in the prayer closet. But there also must be practical, lived out Christianity, which lives wisely toward those who are on the outside. Reaching outward includes the ability to be gracious in our speech so that we know how to approach each person, to be able to answer their questions, to be able to touch their lives and their hearts. Yes, have wisdom in our speech that nothing rude, nothing lewd, nothing crude comes out of our mouths. Wisdom is responding to others kindly, patiently, graciously, and lovingly. And God wants us to be reaching out. He wants the congregation to be reaching out because it's God's will for everyone to hear the good news and have the opportunity to believe it and obey it. When we come to church and we're mostly surrounded by insiders, people who are Christians like us, but how much consideration do we give to those who are still on the outside? Are we mindful of how we come across to unbelievers? Do we care how we present ourselves? Are we aware of how the unchurched look at those who call themselves Christians? Listen, it's important to be a good example to those not only on the inside, but to those who are on the outside. Because why? Understand who you're representing. You are representing Jesus Christ. But also you need to understand people need to be saved. Lost folks, lost people are leaving this world. What are we doing to reach out to those who are lost? Because one of the primary ways that God wants to reach the lost is through us. We have the truth. But it does no good to have the truth and know the truth when you don't share it with somebody else. So the question comes, what am I doing to promote the gospel? What am I promoting it, or am I hindering the gospel? Because listen, I learned in salesmanship, the first impression, y'all have heard that, is the last impression. So what kind of impression are we leaving as a child of God? And so when you understand that, you know, you understand that first impressions are important when interviewing for a job. Mm-hmm. They're important for the Christian when we are out and about in the visibility of others. And so we need to ask ourselves, how am I representing Jesus Christ in my neighborhood, in the grocery store, on the work site, in the school? Am I representing Jesus Christ? Am I being that example that God wants me to be? Because listen, if you got bad behavior, your bad behavior, your immodest appearance, your sour speech can stifle any effort in making to bring somebody to Jesus Christ. And so we may need to ask ourselves some questions as I begin them hastily to conclude. Am I drawing people? Am I drawing people close to Jesus? Or am I pushing them away from Jesus? Think about that. You are an influence. Are you drawing people close to the Jesus that you know? Or are you pushing them away? Count the cost. Understand the consequences. And we need to recognize the damage caused by being a bad example. So we looked at this morning, and our relationship, what it should look like in each direction. Upward, are we trusting God? Inward, are we showing grace in our marriages, in our parenting, in our friendships, in our ministries, within our church family? And then outward, are we telling others what Jesus has done for us, he can do it for you. I want to encourage this congregation, as Paul encouraged the church at Philippi. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I want to encourage this church. Number one, you stay focused. Stay focused on Jesus Christ. Look to him. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. I want to encourage this church to be a person of prayer. Pray for this congregation. Pray for the leaders of this congregation. But then, leaders, you pray to God. And you let God lead you in making the decision you need to make for the overall good of the congregation. I want to encourage you, be faithful to attend services. I want to encourage you to be extra patient and understanding. But then I want to encourage you to do your part, because ministry still has to go on. The work of the church still has to go on. The mission still has to go on. You see, people come and go, but the Word of God remains the same. Ministries has to go on. But then finally, the church must not scatter. The church must not scatter. This is a time in which the congregation should most strongly gather together for support, for encouraging one another. And so listen, this may be a season of testing for you. God wants you to continue to work together, to continue to make an impact in this community, in this city, and know that if Savannah Church of Christ is still alive and is still well, you're still here. Stay together. Satan is going to be busy, but stay together. Work together. Because you're working for God. You want to be pleasing to Almighty God. Community is watching. City is watching. People are watching. But you rise above it all, because you got a God that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You got a God who said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. God will send you somebody at the right time when you need him most. But you got to trust God. You got to do your part. And remember Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. You keep reaching upward. You keep reaching inward. But most of all, reach outward. Because there are lost souls that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got the gospel? Share the gospel. And all you can do is share the word. You plant it. You can water it, but when God see fit, God will give the increase. You trust in Almighty God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And I'm here to tell you, church, he's going to continue to direct your path. If you hear not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've heard the word, believe it to be true, repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. If you're here in a Christian, not living as a Christian should, or you just need prayer, whatever the case may be, come right now and we stand and sing the song.
Lean not to your own understanding.
Living below in this old sinful world, seeking a comfort for my soul, striving alone to face heaven. temptation's door. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to stay me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to stay me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?